So last time we talked about the five-step stock screen and we gave Amazon as an example. And we found that Amazon passed the first four steps, but not the fifth step. And we talked a little bit about, you know, the emotions of, you know, you're using Amazon all the time. Well, I really want it to pass because I wanted it to pass. And it was back in 2018, but it failed the fifth step. So what's interesting is just to look at how Amazon stock did over the next year. And over the next year, it massively underperformed. It was down 26% from July 26th of 2018. So just an indication of, and the market was down 17%. So the market was down, but it was down worse. So just an indication that the stock screen worked that quarter very well. It allowed us to avoid a 26% decline over the next year. And if you were emotional and you said, oh, it passed four steps, let's ignore the fifth step, you would have lost a quarter of your money. So let's dive deeper. And what I teach my one-on-one coaching clients is, yes, the five-step screen is great. The five-step stock screen is great. And it works alone. But I want to increase your probability of success even higher, even more. And the way we do that is we use price targets. And this may be antithesis of what you may have heard just generally. Oh, if I'm going to buy a stock, I'm holding it for life. You know, and some people like Warren Buffett have espoused this view of, you know, I'm going to do the research. I'm going to find a company that's quote unquote undervalued. I'm just going to hold it. Well, I am the antithesis of that. And I believe that you should have a price target when you buy something and know when to sell. Because like we talked about last time, you know, Peter Lynch talked about the 10 bagger. I mean, it's possible you can make 10 times your money. And maybe if you held something for 20 years, but I believe that you should have a price target, set it, and then reevaluate. So you buy Amazon at 1800 in 2018, it goes to 3600, you know, 5 years later, now you've doubled your money, but what's it worth? Like maybe your price target was 3600 back in 2018, maybe it's only worth 4000 now, and it's only got 10% upside. Is that worth holding? Let's try to find another stock that has 100% upside. So having price targets provides more logic and less emotion in the process. And what I would recommend doing, and we're going to go through how you calculate price target next, but what I recommend doing is putting an alert when you buy the stock and putting in the alert and putting maybe, you can do memos, at least in Schwab and TD Ameritrade, you can do memos. So I would do a memo like, it hit the price target, sell it, silly, you know, like just do it, you know, just do it or sell it, silly, because you've made your money. Like there's the emotions we've talked about in the past and greed and fear. So don't be greedy and don't be fearful. If you have some people use stop losses, some of my clients use stop losses and say, okay, I don't want to lose more than 10%. You know, we're not going to be right 100% of the time. We're looking for stocks that have 100% upside and 25% downside or less. But we're going to be right, you know, 70, 80% of the time. So there are going to be stocks that were wrong and you want to cut your losses and let your winners run. So if the other way too, like you can have an alert, you bought Amazon at 1800, you know, it goes down to 1600, down 10%. You're like, okay, I'm out. I lost my 10%. I'm out of here. And let's find another stock. Or you could say, wow, it's cheaper and I'm going to buy more. But have a plan in place before you actually invest. Don't put a plan in place in the middle when you've already bought it and you may be emotionally attached or detached. Oh, I've lost 20%. I'm out of here. You know, then. Or, you know, I've made 80%, I'm holding this for life, right? And clients have done that too. I had a client recently last year, found a great company that passed the five-step stock screen. He found it at 7.5, started buying it at 10. It went to 19, he made 90%. and his target was 22. So he's got 15% more to go. And he's like, I'm holding. And then it went all the way back to 10. Okay. Have the plan in place. So you don't have to sell all of it when it's within 10 or 15% of your price target, but you can sell half, you can take some gains. So having the discipline and putting, and that's what my clients work with me on as well, is a plan, to put a plan in place before you make the decision to buy. Don't be emotional. Okay, I've made 90%. I got 10 or 15% more. Sell at least half, or maybe sell three quarters, or maybe I'm going to sell all of it when it's within 10% of my price target. You know, I've gone from 10 to 19 and the price target is 20. I'm out of here. So let's talk about price targets. And price targets are based on what is a company worth. And there are many ways to calculate a price target. I'm going to give you one of the most simple ways to calculate it. And you know, if you're a one-on-one coaching client of mine, we go in even further on price targets, but I'll just, and you know, I'd love for you guys to become a one-on-one coaching client, but let's just, this is one way, and you can make a ton of money using this method for price targets. So the price targets just give you a sense of what a company could be worth in the future. And I calculate an upside, as I already intimated, an upside price target and a downside price target. So the upside is based on future earnings. So the analysts calculate a projection of what the company is going to earn next year. So we're sitting here in 2023. If you go to any of the platforms like Schwab or Vanguard or Fidelity or Bloomberg or S&P or FactSet or Yahoo Finance, you can check what the analyst estimates, average analyst estimates are for 2024. So that's future earnings. And then we multiply by the highest price to earnings ratio over the last 5 years. That's also available on all those platforms. So what we're saying is, okay, what's the best case that this company could be priced at by the end of next year? And for example, this is, I'm going to use the example of Apple, which we've used in the past few times. So back in 2020, analyst estimates for Apple for 2021 were $3.85. The highest PE over the last 5 years for Apple was 36.3. So if we multiply $3.85 times 36.3, we get $139.76. So that's one upside price target. We can also use book value, and we discussed book value in the past. Book value is shareholders' equity divided by the outstanding shares outstanding. And price to book value is another valuation metric that we saw that for Apple. So the other way is to look at the future book value, again, 2024 year-end book value. Or in this case, we're looking at 2021 because we're back in 2020. So the future book value projection by the analyst was $3.24. The highest price to book value for Apple was 33. So that gives you $107. So now for both of those methods, we want to see how much upside does Apple have. So on the PE method, let's go back to that. I said it was $139.76. At this day, when I did this projection, it was Apple's stock price was 118. So 139 divided by 118 is only 18%. And on the book value basis, I just said the future book value, $3.24 times the highest price to book, 32.7, gives you 107. But the stock was at 118. So on that basis, there's actually downside in the highest upside for a price to book. So 18% or minus 9.5%. Not looking too good. So Apple may have passed all five steps in this quarter, But I'm saying I want to look for companies that not only pass the five steps, but also have 100% upside. So Apple clearly in this quarter at this time did not have 100% upside. Let's look at downside. Because what I'm looking for is companies that have at least 100% upside and less than 25% downside. Then your ratio upside to downside is 4-1, 100% divided by 25%. That puts the odds in your favor significantly. So let's look at downside. Again, we're looking at future earnings for the next year. Again, $3.85. But now we're looking at the lowest PE that Apple had over the prior 5 years. So we went back from 2020 back to 2015, and it was 9.6. So if it went back to the lowest, then Apple stock would go to $37 times 9.6. 37 divided by the current stock price of 118 is 69% downside. Ooh. And then if we look at book value, the lowest book value, price to book value over the last 5 years was four. So 4 times $2.32 is $9.28, down from 118. So that's 92% downside. So on the PE basis, we saw it at 18% upside and 69% downside. I don't want to invest in a company that has more downside than upside. And on the book value basis, it didn't have any upside. The upside is negative. So looking at this method of price targets, and this is just one of many you can use, but this is the simplest method. And the data is all available on these applications. So that's the other benefit of this. You don't have to use any models. You don't have to go talk to a professional analyst. It's all there out there. So on this basis, using these price targets, even if Apple passed the five steps, it doesn't have my 100% upside and less than 25% downside. So I'm not interested. And so, yes, I do have some wiggle room. Like when I was managing money for Citigroup, $700 million at the peak, when I had my own hedge fund, I would use this screen. And sometimes there weren't any stocks that I was supposed to buy, but they had 80, 90% upside and they had 30% downside. So now I'm like, okay, it's 3-1, not 4-1. It's close. So I continue to make some investments even when there wasn't 100% upside and 25% downside, because what I should have really been doing is sitting on my hands and not doing anything for weeks until the market came to me and showed me some stocks that had 100% upside. But as you're managing money, you tend to be, as a professional money manager, you tend to want to get, try to find those lucrative opportunities every day. And so maybe I'll replace this one that looks like it only has 50% upside with the one that has 80% upside. So I'm doing those kinds of things, but I wasn't supposed to, because it didn't have 100%. So the idea is there is wiggle room, and with anything, so by the way, rule number two in the 9 money rules is trust your intuition. And it's really important to ask yourself, is this an opportunity that I don't want to pass up? Not analytically, but with your gut, your intuition, your sixth sense. And that's really important. And I teach my clients how to develop their intuition, because that's really important. I will tell you, managing money for Citi and for my own fund, that if I didn't trust my intuition, I either made less money or lost money. And no financial advisor, financial planner is going to tell you to trust your intuition, but I will. So what do you believe? Do you believe that you can make more money in what you know? Because Peter Lynch, again, one of the best mutual fund managers of all time in the 90s for Fidelity, said, invest in what you know. And great advice. You don't need to invest in AI to make a ton of money in the stock market, in artificial intelligence. One stock that passed was a beverage company this year in 2023 that's now up 71%. this year, in 4 months, 5 months. So you don't need to get complicated. People, like Peter Lynch said, oh, people feel like you need to find that esoteric AI tech company that no one's heard of, that biopharmaceutical company that's kind of come out with that new drug that's going to cure cancer. No, you don't need to find that one, right? There are plenty of companies that are growing earnings faster than revenues, that their earnings growth is greater than the PE, like we talked about with the five-step stock screen last time. Those companies you want to invest in. And so my advice is, one, what do you believe? Go back to belief. And my belief is you don't need to be specific about a sector. If it's a pharmaceutical company that passes the five steps, that has 100% upside, less than 25%, go for it. But there's some people that will say to me, you know, this company is doing this thing that doesn't sit right with me. And I completely get that. Like, if they're doing something that is against your moral fortitude, then don't invest. That's fine. Research that. But there are plenty of sectors out there, and you don't need to be just like, some people will say, well, what if like I just find tech companies? Am I going to be overweight tech? Well, yes, but you're finding the best in technology companies, and those are the ones that are going to do well. So even when tech was doing terrible at the beginning of 2023, there were a handful of technology companies that were going up, even when they were cratering in the first quarter of 2023 and in late 2022. So you can find those using my screen, using these price targets. So I personally would never, I don't like to use always and never, but rarely will I say, don't invest in one sector. Whatever pops out of the screens and the price targets is where you want to go. And it could be a financial company earlier this year. You know, nobody wanted to invest in banks, but if you had invested in the bank sector in March, April, right after the three failures of Silicon Valley and Signature Bank and then First Republic, you would have made a ton of money in a few select banks, like over 50% in just a handful of months. But people were saying, don't invest in any banks. I don't know. Like, if you're unemotional and you use my five-step stock screen and you use the price target, then you find one that passes and has 100% upside, why not? I will fully admit, I'm not a trader. I don't trade stocks. I'm an investor. So like I have my price targets. I have my five-step stock screen. I'm very religious about that. And so I'm not trading 20 stocks a day. 10. Like, it was interesting when I was at Citigroup, we had one of my colleagues literally traded 100 stocks every day, moving stuff or like a little bit of this, a little bit. I was like, How do you research? How do you analyze? How do you meet with the, how do you do anything else but that? There were many days between 2008 and 2012 that I didn't trade anything. I would be out. I would be meeting with the company. I would be meeting with an analyst. I'd be reading through financial statements. That's what I was doing. I wasn't I'm looking for the next great idea. I put on the stocks that I thought we're going to do well, the stocks are going to do poorly. And I didn't need to move things around every single day. But some people feel like they need to trade every day. I don't do that. I'm an investor. You know, I'm looking for that great stock idea that's going to go up 100%. And I have my decision tree of, okay, if it's up 90, I'm out. If it's down 10, stop loss, I'm out. And that's how I operate. And so I'm not trading every day. And again, you know, rule number one and rule number two, what's your belief? Do you believe you need to trade every day? Do you believe you need to do that? Well, that's your belief. I would write down your level of belief in each investment idea before you make it, and then update that every 90 days. Because I know with my clients, I do this and they'll buy something and it does well, and then their belief level goes higher. Right? It's doing well. You know, it's up 50%. I'm a 10. It's going higher. Right? If it goes against them, their belief goes down. I've lost 5% in just 90 days or 60 days. Now my belief is a 6. well, that's not good. So like, just know that your belief is low right now and you may not be making the best decisions, because I highly recommend only investing in stocks where your belief level is 7, 8, 9, or 10. Because if it's not high, you're going to be selling when you should be buying and buying when you should be selling. And intuition, again, let's go back to intuition. Rank your intuitive level on each one you're about to invest in. What's your intuition saying right now? Does it feel good? You know, tap into the gut. You don't need like, okay, you've made the decision, you're going to invest, but what's your intuition saying? Oh, I don't know about this one. So don't do it. If your intuition is not 8, 9, or 10, 7, 8, 9, 10, I wouldn't recommend. Your intuition is powerful. It's your sixth sense giving you recommendations. So belief and intuition are really important. Rules 1 and 2 in the 9 money rules, really important. Check it, and check it every 90 days.